This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of GeekDad.com on the Wired Blog Network. This is episode 24, Mo Danger, Mo Better.
GeekDad.com, one of the Wired suite of blogs, as it were. And we've got a smaller than normal crew today, just out of, you know, it's summer and some of us got lazy and didn't organize things very well. Want to welcome Mr. Daniels. That's it. Well, then fine. I'll welcome Brian. Brian, how are you this week?
Sorry. I'm running over Dan. That's how I'm doing.
No, welcome me. Welcome me.
No, I'm.
It's Dan Little and Brian Olson. Welcome to you all. No.
And we live halfway between Minneapolis and North Carolina.
Yeah, where would that be? Quick, Google map it.
Ohio.
No, oh, sorry.
Hey, wait a minute.
We just lost all our Ohio listener.
All six people in the chat room just dropped. I'm doing well, thank you.
All right, awesome. Dan, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty well.
Cool.
Biggest excitement for the week was scrubbing a kitchen floor, so, you know, that's not so much excitement.
But on the other hand, that may be a very nice, relaxing week.
Oh, that could be.
Biggest thing we had was on Sunday morning, or Sunday just afternoon, my older son got to go on the field with the A's.
Very nice.
A little pro baseball game. They do something where they reach out to local teams and everything, and he was on our local little league A's at his level, and the team mom put them in for this, and they got selected. We're not sure whether there might have been any politics involved, considering the A's are trying to wheel and deal and build a new stadium down here in Fremont, but and you know, move down to the south end of the county. So, you know, picking the Fremont A's might have been part of the plan of you know, little wink wink nudge nudge for the politics, but yeah, so the kids get to take the field with the team for the national anthem and get autographs, and it was really neat. The kid had a great time, and that was it. Otherwise, it's just life. But so I wanted to bring one thing up first off, and this is a rant. And we haven't used this forum to rant much in the past. This is a good geek dad's rant. And I have a feeling that if not the specific topic du jour, at least the generality of what I'm about to discuss is something that is a frustration that many of you may have had. So the background is, We are fans of Stargate in this household. We are, you know, we are geeks. And the newest made for, you know, straight to DVD movie they've made called Stargate Continuum came out today. And we had it pre-ordered on Blu-ray. And we have a Blu-ray player. We got it last Christmas. And, you know, we've got maybe half a dozen movies for it. And it's beautiful. It's been a little clunky. We've had some problems here and there. I'm not overly impressed with the technology. I love the quality of Blu-ray. It's beautiful. But the device itself, how well it runs, has not impressed me that much. They seem like woefully underpowered computers. Because they take, you know, 5 minutes to boot up or to reboot. You have to boot them up reboot them every now and then, because it seems like they get all muddy and whatever cache or memory they've got filled up, and they start having problems.
Does it have a crank on the side too?
No, but you put coal in the back and keep it burning.
Steampunk.
Yeah, a little steampunk Blu-ray. And a brass ray player. and All right, there's a challenge right there. Somebody needs to make a brass ring player.
I guarantee you, if Merlin Mann listens to this podcast, the word steampunk just turned him away.
Yeah, probably. Probably. So,
brass ring should not be as funny as it is. Sorry, rant away.
Okay. So, and you know, another aspect of these actually being a form of computer, basically, is that you have to do software updates once in a while. When we bought it, there was a software update available for it, and we did that, and, you know, never noticed much of anything. But, so, in general, quality has been good, but, you know, operation kind of clunky. It's not to disparage current Linux users, and, you know, because Linux is getting much smoother nowadays. But consider, you know, like, you're trying to run a device on, say, a Linux from about 3 or 4 years ago, and it you know, it will do things, it will look pretty good, but sometimes it's a little bit clunky, and it takes a little bit of technical know-how to keep it going right, or to get it to do the things you want to do. Because literally, to do a software upgrade, you have to go to the website, and in this case, this is a Sharp Aquos Blu-ray DVD player. You have to go to Sharp's website, you have to download the software update, put it on a thumb drive that you know, obviously it has to be formatted FAT32, and then, you know, go through the sequence in the control panel for the Blu-ray player to update it. Okay, so that's all background. So the new Stargate movie comes out today, and we are big fans of it. And so it was on pre-order, showed up via FedEx or via UPS today. We got our grubby little hands on it. We had the plan. The plan was, by the time we all got home and we had our dinner ready and everything, we were going to have about a little over an hour to sit down and watch the first half of the movie before Dad had to go in and do his podcast tonight, which was going to be great. We stick the movie in, get everything going, and all the menus look fine, everything. We get to actually playing the movie. And I'm sorry, we, you know, go through all of the FBI stuff, all the little warning things, and even the MGM lying, growling, everything. That all looks beautiful. Looks fine. Going strong. Get into the actual movie, which, now that you think about it from a technical point of view, is probably a separate file created separately on the disc and probably created by somebody else and who was creating all those little pieces. And it starts working like crap. It's stuttering. It's having problem, you know, video problems. It stops and restarts like 10 seconds before, all this stuff. I try, you know, taking the disc out, checking it, it's perfectly clean. It didn't get dropped, nothing's wrong with the disc. Try rebooting the player twice, and didn't help. Finally go, all right, you know what? Software update, I guess. So go in, check the website. Oh yeah, lo and behold, there is a software update in the last month and a half that has something to do with improving performance playing 20th Century Fox movies. It actually said something about Jumper, but you figure they wouldn't put out a software update for just one movie, but that's, you know, 20th Century Fox, that's what this disc is, so give it a try. So download it, and now, you know, first of all, the easy part should be, I have some thumb drives, put it on a thumb drive, put it over. No, I go through about three different tries with that and realized that even though I tried reformatting the thumb drive on my Mac to FAT32, it didn't work right. So I get my wife's Windows laptop out, reformat the thumb drive on a Windows machine into FAT32, put the stuff over there. But for some reason, the 2 gig Kingston disc I did that with still wouldn't work. But the 4 gig Patriot memory thumb drive that I had did work, finally. So after about 45 minutes of this, you know, entire, you know, geek nightmare experience, I get the firmware or the software for this Blu-ray player updated, and we're able to sit down and watch about 15 minutes of the movie before Dad has to go do his podcast. And so I lay all that out for, you know, for sort of some geek dad commentary here, because if this is the state of the technology, if this is what they're selling us as, you know, something to use in the home for the average, you know, the average schmo on the street.
Sneaker net.
Wants the newest technology. Wonderful. This ain't going to do it. This ain't going to survive. This is not going to work because, you know what? I know enough to know that as a geek dad, everything I did there in 45 minutes, and then this isn't about bragging or whatever. I know I'm technically inclined. I know I have this knowledge set, and it took me 45 minutes to work through this and fix it. Your average user, the person that is not a geek like us, is going to take hours, and is going to be making phone calls to places. It's going to be tearing their hair out, and finally he's going to give up on this because it's not worth it. If these things are going to happen, it's doomed to fail.
Now, see, I can think of a bright side to this.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not hearing from your folks often enough, and you really want some more communication with your parents or your uncles, you know, give them a Blu-ray player and then send them like a movie a month, and they'll call you every month, and you'll walk them through getting it set up, and you know, it's some good bonding.
The movie won't play. Can you come over?
Exactly. See, it's and we're married and we have kids, so our wives cook, so we don't need for the food. But like single guys, this could be golden. You know, you give somebody that really cooks well, you know, an aunt or somebody.
Oh, there you go. You just said it right there. You give the girl that you're dating, you know, a Blu-ray player. Say, I just had this extra. It shouldn't seem like some too expensive a gift or anything. But then she has to call you to come over to help fix the movie player.
Well, that could be, of course, you better make sure that you can get it fixed fast enough. 45 minutes might be a little too long.
Right.
You know? You can't fix it that fast? Come on. I'll find somebody that can.
It's true. It's a test.
But, you know, three things kind of stick out. Number one, there's the difference in expectation between what should be a consumer appliance and something that you buy, you know, like you build your own PC expecting to hack around with it.
Right.
Sharp evidently is not real informed about their audience, because I can tell you somebody like my dad who buys a product like this does not expect to spend 45 minutes upgrading firmware.
Yeah.
Frequently.
And the second thing is, when wireless communications are so pervasive, especially amongst people who are going to lay out that kind of money for the player,
mm-hmm.
and when there are Ethernet ports so easily available, why do I need to use my PC to update this? Why don't I at least have the option of plugging in an Ethernet cable and letting the stupid thing search for its own updates? My Dish DVR does that.
Yeah, yep.
And the third thing, this just galls me. Now, I'll tell you, I don't know anything deep about the Blu-ray standard, but why in the world do they need to update the firmware for movies from one studio? What are they doing at Fox that's so different?
Yeah, why is somebody using a codec that somebody else, you know, that's different from somebody else?
You know, it is 20th century Fox.
Well, you know, I think I understand now what my dad must have felt like sort of making the decision between Beta and VHS. You know, it's sort of being in the middle of a standard that's in the process of settling out.
Yeah.
This just reconfirms my decision not to buy a high def player right now.
And you know, I'm not necessarily going to gainsay that. I mean, the movies that we've gotten look beautiful on it. We've had, you know, that's been great, but we have had headaches with it, and they have rushed this stuff out, and or for, you know, some sort of concept of we have to be first in competition and whatever, they've put beta quality material out as consumer-ready products, and it's not right.
But, you know, that's common everywhere now. All these public... How long has Gmail been in beta?
Actually, I think they finally went out of beta recently.
How long was it in beta?
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Like 2 years.
Actually, it works pretty well.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can forgive them that, but... You know,
I mean, Twitter is the better, the better example.
Yes. Twitter, the release product that does not admit it's beta.
And that would be stretching it.
But yeah, well, tweet.
Obsessively.
Yeah. No, it's... They found a sweet spot.
They really did.
And yeah.
On the high def thing, Ken, I'm going to take a geek cred hit for this, but that's fine. I bought an up-converting DVD player.
Right.
And have just been happy enough with it to not worry about it. I get enough high-def content off the dish. Yeah. And so, you know, $85 later, I'm just going to sit back and and let all you early adopters do the sneaker net thing.
Well, but I mean, but let me also point out that this is an early adoption. This stuff's been out there over a year, right?
Well, when did you said you bought it a year ago?
We bought it in at Christmas time. It had been out six to eight months at that point, at least. This was at least the second, if not third generation machine.
I don't claim to know enough about the state of the standard, so maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in any case, I have not been impressed enough with you know, other than the definition issues, the menu stuff is not that much fancier. The improvements, other than definition, don't seem that spectacular. So.
No, I'm sorry, but improved menus are not going to sell me on a player because that's the last thing I want to see. That's my wife will tell you. I'm always complaining. I can't get to the menus fast enough and away from them fast enough.
Yeah.
I just don't care. I'd be happy if I could stick the movie in and it would just start like they used to,
like a video.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And you could fast forward through the FBI warning and through the trailers.
You know, that's an interesting one because sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Depends upon who.
Depends on how savvy the maker was.
Yeah, because I think they actually have, you know, they've got like specific subcontracting studio organization, or not studios, but fulfillment houses that take all the files and put together the DVDs and make the gold master. And so it's whether or not they've thrown in, you know, the special switches in when they program the menus, but whether or not the, you know, the skip button is working on a given cycle in the process. But anyway, you know what? That was a lot of prattling, a lot of ranting. But I thought that was something that especially geek dads, because it seemed like, you know, and I felt like such a geek dad. Just, you know, I was the guy. You know, mom and the two boys are sitting there, and all they want to do is they want to watch this movie, and you know, they're depending upon me to save the evening. And, you know, figure out this technical stuff and get the machine working. And while it was very frustrating that it took so long, I was able to do it. It worked finally. Figured out, you know, I was able to troubleshoot and work out the technical solution. So we got to watch our 10 minutes, got to a very exciting point, and now we've paused and we'll, you know, catch up with it in a couple of
days. Think of it as job
security. Secretly watching.
There you go, job security.
Your wife will never leave you. She can't work the DVR or the DVD player.
The Blu-ray player, yeah. All right. Moving on. Oh, I would like to mention that right now we've got between 7 and 8 viewers. Of course, by viewers, we mean people that are just, you know, happen to be on the main page at geekdad.com right now. But if anyone's there and listening and watching this right now, feel free to jump into the chat room, say hello. Ask us any questions. Comment on what you're hearing, because we're looking to make this a little interactive. So please join in. All right, guys, what else we got to talk about? Anyone? Bueller?
Posts.
You want to jump on the post now? Oh wait.
You had mentioned Dark Knight, and
Dark Knight.
Hey, birthday. Let's bring up the birthday first. We'll just mention it here. We posted about it today, but today we all of Geek Dad would like to wish Will Wheaton a happy 36th birthday today. He was on the Geek Dad's number 6, as I recall, was the number, and was a rollicking good time. He was a great guest, and
welcome to the old, Will. You're now closer to 40 than 30.
Well, I mean, you know, it opens up, you know, have you noticed that, as, you know, in the last year or so, he's gotten some more serious TV roles? He's just finished filming something for the show Criminal Minds.
Maybe that's why he's got the beard.
That could be.
He should look about 5 years older.
Yeah. So I've never watched Criminal Mind. It's Joe Mantegna, I believe. And but I'll at least they'll at least get one rating point out of me for whenever Will's episode airs.
I just liked the birthquake comment.
Yeah.
It's a birthquake. It's for my birthday.
Good. Yeah, for those that haven't heard the news, there was a 5.8 earthquake in southern, sort of the lower L.A., sort of Santa Ana area. And it was felt all over the basin down there. And Will tweeted about it when he felt it. He said, oh, they had an earthquake for my birthday. It was a birthquake.
I'm shot.
And it was kind of shaking down there. But for all of you who have never been through earthquakes, 5.8 is a comfortable earthquake. I think as a Californian, I would say the comfortable earthquake, because it's a good shake. It startles you. It may even knock some things off the wall, but it's not life threatening. So it's more like a short roller coaster ride.
It's like saying a comfortable lightning storm to be out in is the one that only makes your hair stand on
right.
end.
There you go.
You know,
being
in the Midwest, there are no animals that will eat my children floating around. You know, no gators, you know, nothing like that. There are no hurricanes that can hit us, and there are no earthquakes. I find great comfort in that.
You have tornadoes, though, right?
Well, yeah, but not that often, you know.
Not that often, and you know, the small ones are very comfortable.
Right. Wow.
Oh, you guys, speaking of gators.
A whole new set of metrics here.
What is a comfortable disaster? Did you guys see the video that was making the rounds last week? Not video, actually, photographs. Some guy on a
yes.
photograph
oh, I know.
Safari. Yes, photograph safari in South Africa. He and his wife are in a rented car. I guess this little preserve or wherever. You can actually drive your own car down the track. But, you know, there's wildlife running all the way through it. And they get to this, just above this watering hole, and you know there's a couple other cars pulled up, and they're all talking about, oh yeah, we saw it was a leopard. I think it was a leopard.
Yeah, it was
had
cheetah.
Been around and a leopard or a cheetah. I think it was a leopard. And they're watching, and there's some elephants over there, and it looks really neat, and there's some crocodiles down by the water, or whatever. And all of a sudden, they see a leopard attack. An alligator.
Like
Seven or eight foot crocodile. And have this earth-shattering battle that basically ended up... And the leopard won because it was taller. It was actually able to get to... You know, it got its death grip jaws around the crocodile's neck. Held on tight, and the crocodile did its whipping around and actually, you know, did the death spiral a couple of times on the ground until the leopard was able to get purchase on its feet. And because its legs were longer, it was actually able to stand up, straddling the crocodile so that the crocodile couldn't get its feet down on the ground to push back. And so it just stood there and held on until the life was gone from the alligator, and they said it was the most amazing thing. And there's this whole string of pictures.
They are astounding.
Have you got that? You got to look up that link because we should give that one out. That one blew my mind looking at those pictures.
I've got it somewhere. I'll go find it.
Okay, we'll bring it up.
The thing to me was, it's like you said, the tactic of the cat was really cool. I mean, he just worked around till he got one good bite in, and then held on till the reptile bled out.
Right. That's just amazing. And my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, but everyone was basically talking was that they've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, you get hungry enough.
Yeah.
One thing's for sure, that cat earned his meal or hers.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be an effort to eat it, I'm sure, but...
Oh, that's really something to see. So if we can dig it, we'll dig up that link and we'll post it or we'll mention it before the end of the podcast.
I just got the music going from Mutual of Omaha in the back of my head. Yeah. Marlon Perkins,
oh, that's
Jim.
Yes. Jim's hey, out next that. To the crocodiles right now, or in Chan now.
Here's the thing though, we just found out that they have gone back and cut segments of the Mutual of Omaha series together into DVDs, and they have them on Netflix. And so I, just as, you know, we got Australia's Awesome Animals, really creative titling, right? but I popped that in the DVD player, and my daughter just went nuts for it. And it's, you know, bad 70s video, and just, you know, the special effects, like on the wall where we would see an LCD screen, there's a flipping triangle with paper paste-ups on it, you know. And it's amazingly old school, but she just totally bit for it. She just went after it. Can we watch Wild Kingdom tonight?
Ooh.
That was really cool.
Might have to dig those up. Okay, I dug it up. The photographer's name is Hal Brindley, and you can go to his site is Hal Brindley, HalBrindley.com. And yeah, photos of the leopard attacking the crocodile. You know, the crocodile looks like about a 5-footer. It was not a big one. Probably weight for weight, they were pretty close.
Did he not say somewhere in there how long it was? I thought, I'll let it play while we're talking. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. Last, before we get into post of the week, you know, we wouldn't be geeks, and unfortunately, I guess Brian doesn't count as a geek this week, if we wouldn't talk about Dark Knight.
I am a geek dad. My theater time is curtailed.
Yeah, well, you gotta make time for it. Yeah, that's it. We just got lucky because the grandparents were taking the kids for a week, so we got the chance to squeeze it in. But
Dan, have you seen it? Oh no, we're getting our rental house ready, so I have no time for movies.
Oh, nobody said. All right, you know what? I'm going to spoil. I'll spoil it.
Nah.
No, okay, then I'll just speak in general. First of all, of course, no, don't take the kids. If they're younger than 13 or 14, use your judgment, but I wouldn't take them. My kids are 10 and 8, and no. This is not, you know, Michael Keaton Batman. This is not Edward Scissorhands.
Or Alex B. Keaton either.
Yeah, or Alex B. Keaton. But,
Republican Matt.
Yeah. That'd very be dark.
Interesting Batman.
Yeah. Did you ever? No. Very dark, very scary, and I'm saddened by the Joker, because we're never going to get to see that Joker again. Because Heath Ledger did a mind-bogglingly good job with that role. And while I won't say he's the definitive Joker, I will say he's the definitive bad, crazy Joker versus, you know, some of the more lighthearted and zany Jokers we've seen otherwise.
You don't like the Joker with the powdered mustache?
Hey, Cesar Romero, just the best. Just the best. But, and as I heard it stated one or two places, this wasn't a superhero movie. This was a very gritty sort of crime action film where the hero just happened to wear a type of armor, and the psychotic villain, you know, wore makeup. Because there was, you know, that was all there was to it.
It was.
Go ahead.
Do I understand correctly that this is a lot more about developing the characters, or
there is a lot of character work in it? It's very, very. I mean, the story is very intricate and deep, and you know as it unfolds, you actually. I mean, there is what's the villain is doing all the way through is, even though it is espoused to be about chaos, there is a plan in it all, and everything leads to a goal. And so, it was an incredible piece of filmmaking. It was really, really well done. From, you know, separate from being, and I almost hate the fact that it came up in the same summer that Iron Man came up, because Iron Man was a great superhero movie, but Dark Knight was a great drama. With great action elements to it, too. Some awesome performances and really, really great writing. So
now I'm looking forward to it even more.
Yeah, do. But, I mean, be prepared. You know, no happy, jolly time. It is a dark, dark movie. And the resolution of things is not overly happy.
That will be a Monday night movie. Those are the ones where my wife and my daughter are off at clogging class, and I have 2 hours when I can go see movies.
There you go.
So it gets devoted to things like Hellboy 2 last week.
And that, and there's another one. I totally enjoyed Hellboy 2. I love Hellboy 2.
I thought it was awesome. I'm easily pleased.
Yeah, but it's going to be completely overshadowed. I mean, this is the summer of great comic book movies. Hellboy 2 was a ton of fun. Iron Man sort of has set the bar for, and I'll use air quotes here, for superhero movies in terms of grand spectacle and adventure and things like that. But, you know.
Well, I think quality of acting, too.
And quality, yeah, and quality. I mean, yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. was the perfect pick for that role.
Yes, yes. And it's going to be very interesting to see him next playing Sherlock Holmes.
No, I hadn't seen that.
Yes.
Oh, do tell.
He will be playing Sherlock Holmes for, whatchamacallit, Richie, for Mr. Madonna.
Guy Ritchie?
For Guy Ritchie.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, because I'm a huge fan of Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Mm. Yeah. So the question is how they're going to tackle that. Of course, that's being done in parallel with the Sacha Baron Cohen, Will Ferrell Sherlock Holmes movie.
Oh, that just puts me right off. So
yeah,
so stop there.
which all sounds like blasphemy because we're classic fans, and indeed for her birthday this year, I got my wife the full DVD set of the BBC Jeremy Brett Sherlock Holmes, which was just awesome. So.
Didn't get a Razzle Bathbone?
No. Jeremy Brett that really set the bar.
Wasn't it Basil Rathbone?
Yes, it was. He was legendarily misintroduced one time as Razzle Bathbone. Spoonerism.
I'd rather be Razzle Bathbone
personally.
Have either of you seen that the Spaced Coming, the Simon Pegg?
No, BBC? I totally want to get that or see
I've
it.
I've seen the DVD release
somewhere.
And thought, ooh, that
Wait
looks
minute,
good.
What is it again?
It's called
Spaced. Simon Pegg?
No.
BBC series, about 2 years. Basically.
It's just one series.
Cool.
Right, they were on for 2 years, I think, there.
Oh, was it? Okay. But it was Pegg and it was his partner. Terrible blanking right now. And did I see Miranda Richardson in it?
I'm drawing a blank. I'm not sure.
I thought I saw her on the cover too, and she's wonderful. In any case, yeah. So it was you know, because once again,
he's the new Scotty.
Yeah, he's the new Scotty. First of all, which I can't wait for. I am a hardcore Trek fan, and so I'm you know, I am trepidatious and yet overwhelmingly excited for this reboot, whatever it's going to be.
Pretty much the same reaction every Trek fan has had to every Trek movie ever made.
Yeah. True.
Really excited and really worried.
Yeah, well, after what happened with Shatner directing, which wasn't entirely his fault, but still.
Sure it was.
Well, his effects budget was slashed to the bone, and so a lot of the cheesiness of certain aspects of that movie was because of that.
Sure. Blame it on the effects budget. No, it's not because William Shatner just sucks. Hey, at least the man has the presence of mind to parody himself in those stupid... Yes.
Orbits.
What's Orbits? Yeah. Thank you, commercials.
Did you ever listen to his album? The new one that he did with Ben Folds?
What?
No.
Yeah, he put out an album produced and co-written by Ben Folds. And it was actually a lot of fun. I mean, there's a lot, you know, a lot of pulling his own chain and you know, it's mostly spoken word, but the songs were smart and funny, and there was a lot to like about it.
Hey, yeah. Huge digression here, but just for a second.
Like we haven't digressed.
We never do that.
That brings us right back to start.
So, geeky music, Ben Folds, you know, music geeks are kind of into him.
Right.
My brother is one of those, at, you know, just a huge level. He loves Ben Folds. He got to go to Nashville, he and his wife, and be in Ben Folds' newest video.
Ooh.
It's the coolest thing. He was really excited. Pictures of it are on his blog. It's blog.andylittle.org, I think. He may shoot me for giving that out.
It's going to bring down his server.
But
all 13 of us going.
I think he had some pictures of it up there, and it was just really neat. He got to, you know, kind of sort of goof around with Ben Folds and the band for a day.
Ooh.
It was really impressive. I can't wait to see the video.
Congratulations to your brother.
Yeah.
That is pretty nifty. All right, guys. What do you say we do some posts?
Waitingly.
Anyone? Dan, why don't you go ahead first?
Sure. I'm going to talk about Dave Banks' post earlier this week on new Lego kits, web improvements this weekend. And as I posted on last week, my kids have discovered the wish list on Lego. And I was catching up on some email, and they looked over my shoulder and said, "Oh, Dad, that's Lego." And so, of course, we spent half an hour looking at the Legos, the Clone War Legos, and how much is that? No, hey, can we afford that? No, you know. But I've been harping on them to save the manuals, because I came upstairs in their new Mars mission setup that they'd put together very carefully, and they had it up on a shelf so it was safe, but the manual was in pieces all over the floor. And I said, "Guys, put the manual together, put it on yourself, so if it breaks or if you take it apart, you can put it back together. The new improvement, the manuals are online, you know, officially." So I thought, hey, this is a good thing. So now I can just let them destroy the manual.
Always good.
There you go.
That may be one of the best things for Geek Dads to ever happen is now, you know, the manuals are downloadable. So anything you ever lose or burn or destroy or whatever, just download the PDF.
Oh, I love the number of vintage gear manuals that you can find. You know, like,
oh, yeah.
20 and 30-year-old cameras. Hey, can I get a manual for this? Well, you know, if you buy it, you have to find it, you know, by luck on eBay and pay $30 for it somewhere. But this guy over here scanned it.
Oh, totally. I did that. What was it? I'm an old, old with respect to my existence. The graphing calculator I used to significantly help my way through certain math classes in college.
That a euphemism for cheat? No, wait.
No. This was a good calculator. Thank you, Brian.
We were never allowed to use calculators. So.
No, well, these were engineering level math classes. So this was, you know, linear algebra and calculus and things like that, where you had
communication.
you had to start, you know, solving differential equations for multiple variables, and so the tests were often, okay, given this equation, y equals x plus 12 times the cosine of z over the integral of this to that. You had to sort of solve for it and tell, you know, which way, where's the curve going to happen and silly things like that. And you were allowed to have calculators in there to do math. And I was just slightly enough ahead of the curve that I got this Casio graphing calculator. State of the art for the time. It had about a 2-inch by 2-inch grayscale LCD screen. And you could actually manually type equations into it and it would graph them for you. So I was, you know, there were a number of tests where, you know, they're expecting you on the test to take the equation and do the differentials of it and then solve for certain points so then you could figure out where the curves go. And instead, I just typed it into my calculator and said, "Oh, look, it turns at 1. Okay."
The iPhone does that now.
I bet you it does. Hey, man, that scientific calculator, when you turn turn landscape now, fantastic.
Actually, I think the going ones right now are TIs, aren't they?
The what?
I think the going concern now in programmable calculators is the Texas Instruments models.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, the big three have always been HP, TI, and then Casio sort of behind them.
HP, we do new computer deliveries in the summer, and so the math department's got a lot of new ones, and several of them have sort of let their old HPs go by the wayside. In favor of the TIs.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're all great machines, and a lot of them are still, you know, they haven't changed that much. I mean, when I went to take my professional engineer's license exam a few years ago, and I needed to get another calculator to go in there, I actually found a solar-powered Casio that this was the most boggling part, is that the key layout and the fonts on the keys were precisely the same as the calculator I had in college. So there's like a comfort of design. They know that the people buying these calculators have an expectation of a certain layout and a certain look and everything, and they keep the same. Just sort of like the HPs with their reverse Polish notation. Okay, that's getting real geeky. So
deeper, go deeper.
Well, and then you used the 4 kilobyte thing to wrap it. Never mind.
I think he was.
Let me tell you about my abacus.
I have Copernicus's lathe, and it turns. All right, Dan, what were you talking about again?
Move along.
Manuals online.
Move along. All right.
Manuals online. Lego's good. Da da da. Kids like Legos.
Okay. You know. Bravo. Bravo. All right, Brian. What do you got for us?
I'm cheating and picking my own one. I enjoyed the responses to the playground equipment post. Just kind of, and this was triggered by reading a blog that I just found called 1,000 Awesome Things. And number 982 or something, I've lost the count now, was old dangerous playground equipment. You know, the kind where you burned your butt on the hot metal slide and you could go around on the merry-go-round that would fling you off at ballistic speeds.
The best stuff.
And well, it really was. And I didn't really notice until I became a father how sort of homogenized and safe playgrounds are now. And I guess I'm really conflicted about that because, like I said in the post, on the one hand, that makes me feel really good as a father to know that my kid has very little chance of being seriously injured. And I've even, you know, her play yard we have here at the house is heavily mulched and, you know, meant to be safe in a similar way. On the other hand, it's a lot more fun if there's a little element of danger in it. And so I kind of regret the loss of that aspect of play. And I wonder how much of it was driven by lawsuits, truthfully. But
oh, probably. I mean,
or fear of lawsuits. Or fear of lawsuits. As likely.
Well, but now here's an interesting follow-on. I just read a story recently, and I wish now I had thought to look it up before the podcast, but I believe it was out of Chicago, where there have been reported cases that they're using this black rubber matting on the playground. You guys have all seen
right.
this, like the poor place or yep. whatever. There are cases where kids have received second, third degree burns off this stuff. Surface temperature of it goes up to 160, or in, I think they quoted 180 in one instance.
Ow.
And they quoted a pediatrician who said, yeah, if you hit that in your bare skin, you'll have a burn inside 3 seconds. So maybe it's not quite as safe as they'd like to think. But I just particularly enjoyed the way the guy described the old equipment. Like every guy in the neighborhood had grabbed every spare piece of lumber, length of chain, and spare tire he had in his garage, headed out on a Saturday, and nailed it all together.
The best playground equipment I've ever seen was in a park in Brussels, Belgium. In like the early 90s, and if you look at your typical, you know, merry-go-round, it's just a flat circle, and then you know you get the bars on it and you can hang on to. There was a merry-go-round that was a ring, a flat platform around a cone, and a pole in the middle went up to the top of the cone, which was probably 10 feet tall, and so the merry-go-round gimbaled around this pole. And so it worked both side to side and circular.
Oh, cool.
It was just cool looking. None of the parents let their kids play on it, but it was very cool.
That's making me nauseous just thinking about it. It's the sad thing is I can't ride this anymore. Well, you know, we still, most of the playgrounds around here are the very safe stuff. We still find the old equipment occasionally. And sure enough, I let our kid get up on it.
No, but here's a question, though, because, I mean, you know, obviously, to a certain extent, what the playgrounds and all that equipment that we had when we were young and before that, you know, that was still the, you know, state of the art, as it were. that was, you know, that is what they knew how to put together, and they hadn't put much, you know, in some cases they probably hadn't put much thought into it. It was more like, all right, we're going to make something that the kids can climb on, or we're going to make something the kids can swing on, something that they can slide down. And that was sort of it. And
metal monkey bars on tarmac.
Yeah, no.
There was no thought to safety at all.
But, I mean, but yeah, it was sort of like.
Well, it was adult concerns. It's if you put dirt in there, you're going to have weeds come up, and then you have to take care of that, and that's more budget for your park.
Yeah.
If you put concrete, you're safe for a few years. The kids, maybe not so much, but you know. But yeah, we found a good park over the 4th of July up in Orr, Minnesota, O-R-R, and they have one of those classic metal slides that's probably 7.5 feet tall, and it was great. It's fast, unlike the plastic ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zoom out
at
the end.
Shocked the next time you touch a piece of metal.
Well, that's true, too.
I don't know. I remember all the stuff we played on, and it was great. I mean, I remember this slide down at Albany Park that was about a 30-foot tall spiral slide, and you literally went up 3 flights of narrow metal stairs to get to the top of the slide, and then you know, got to slide down the spiral metal slide. And yeah, on the warmer days, it was a little uncomfortable unless you went down really quick. But on the other hand, you know, some of these constructs that they have now, even with, you know, the curved edges and everything like that, I know they still strike me as a heck of a lot cooler.
In some ways they are, I think. But, you know, there's something to be said for the old rocket ship made of metal bars. Didn't everybody have one of those?
Not exactly.
The Jungle Gym.
Oh, now I'll tell you what. I'll put you onto my favorite old school playground. I'm not going to tell you exactly where it is because I can't remember, but it is a couple of miles outside of Thurmont, Maryland. I used to go there when I was a kid. I haven't been back in years, but I know it was still there 5 years ago. Has all the, you know, the old school playground equipment and everything, but it has a 3-lane wooden slide, varnished wood, that is, I would say, 30 or 40 feet long and maybe 20, 25 feet off the ground at the top. And they just leave it there, and it's covered, so it's, you know, it's like a box. But they just leave it there with a sack of burlap, or a stack of burlap sacks. And so you pick up your sack at the bottom, you climb the stairs to the top. It's like one of the giant slides of the fair, only it's varnished wood. That is the coolest piece of playground equipment I've ever seen. And it, too, qualifies as dangerous because if you come off a sack anywhere past halfway down, you're going to lose skin. you're going to lose skin. But just, you know, you get up awesome speed. And then what you do is you fill your sack with sawdust and take it up at the top and throw the sawdust down ahead of you.
There you go.
And even more speed. More dangerous, more better.
within certain bounds, yes.
Well, you know, you say within certain bounds as a parent, but when you're a kid, ah.
Yeah, whatever.
Faster?
I remember going down big dirt hills with, you know, on top of cardboard boxes, and well, who cared if there were some, you know, small stumps sticking out of the ground that would catch you halfway down and tear off a limb. Well, you know, that was the price you paid. All right, last pick. I'm going to do my pick, and I wanted to bring up the joy I had reading the news about the 3 minutes of footage shown at Comic-Con for the sequel of Tron that is in production, and just reading the description just about brought geeky little tears to my eyes because the way it was put out there, you know, evoking the classic images of the cycle race from the original, and then the fact that Jeff Bridges is in it. It
was worthless if they didn't have Jay Maynard there.
Yeah. So I mean your impressions, because Tron is like a benchmark film, and you know, for a lot of geeks, and for me, it was that was a real, that was an important one for me, and my wife loves it too. And to know that they're putting together a sequel, and hopefully it's of a quality. I mean, if it was written well enough that it did attract Jeff back, wouldn't it be hilarious if they got Bruce Boxleitner too?
Hey, Scarecrow.
Yeah, we would say that. Most of the rest of people of the last couple generations would do something about the captain from Babylon 5.
Can I say I'm a product of my age?
Yep.
Who played Mrs. King?
That was, what's her name from Charlie's Angels? Catherine Jackson. Jackie Jackson. Oh, there.
Not that that's germane to anything. It was going to irritate me all evening if I didn't figure.
But it was going
to irritate me until I got to IMDb. Anyway.
Yeah, but you know what? We're geeks. We're supposed to know these things.
It would be cool if Fox Lightner back, though.
That would be. I think he'd be good natured enough to go after it. And all right, so here's geeky stuff for you.
Wow, Bruce, that's a switch.
Bruce Boxleitner. Bruce Boxleitner, who ever saw it, or hopefully was a fan of, what was the adventure one he did? I was going to screw up. I was going to say Tales of the Gold Monkey, but that wasn't him. That was, my brain's going now. There were two adventure shows in the 80s. One was Bruce Boxleitner, and one was the guy from the father on that WB show where he was a minister with the family, and he was
the one where he did the thing with the stuff and the
guy.
And he was
Matt Decker in the or he was he was Captain Decker on Star Trek the Motion Picture. There are geeks out there that know what I'm talking about, and I'm freaking.
No, I hate you because now it's going to bug me until I figure it out. You just ruined me for the rest of the night.
All right, at least I've performed one service. I mean, it's sad enough. I mean, you know, because I'm in the podcast or whatever right now, I can't remember. I can't. The names aren't coming off the top.
This is before Bab 5, right?
Oh, significantly before. This was 80s.
Yeah, give me a.
Boxleitner did an adventure series that lasted maybe one or two seasons, and then
Bring Him Back Alive.
What's that?
Bring Him Back Alive.
Bring Him Back Alive. There you go. He was Bring Him Back Alive, and then whatchamacallit was
the Seventh Heaven guy.
Yeah, Seventh Heaven. There you go.
We have now proceeded to lose the rest of our audience. Exactly.
Hey, there's still 9 people in the chat room not saying anything.
Suckers.
They probably have their volume turned down and are, you know, reading a completely different post than anything that we're doing right now. Man, I think I'm totally overheating my MacBook Pro right now.
Is that? I'm hearing a weird little
whine.
Yeah,
I think that whistle, that's the fan in the MacBook.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think I'm putting an extra fan in. I think that one time we did this, I overheated the wireless.
Excuse to buy a new Mac Mini, dude.
I've got a Mac Mini.
I didn't say you had one. I said it's an excuse to
buy a new one. Yes,
I need a dedicated video provider, video server.
I just need to put this on top of a cool pad. But all right, well, I think we're done. I think we've subjected our poor audience to enough this week. Dan, anything you want to say? Anything you got prepped? Any stories coming up you want to plug?
Yeah, blah, blah. Sorry, I was looking up Seventh Heaven, and I'm really lost.
Busted.
Please help me.
It's contagious, Dan.
No, there will be a post. There will be a post this week.
There will be. Excellent.
I'll put it in French, so it sounds more cool or something. I don't know.
More cooler. All right, Brian, how about you? Anything cool going on this week? Any posts coming up?
Got some new products to review and hoping to get them up and online.
Okay.
Maybe, let me put out the same call I put out to the GD Ideas list. Anybody who can email us, I'm looking for references for shops on the order of the Bone Room in Berkeley or Maxilla and Mandible in Manhattan. Manhattan. Stores that build themselves as natural history emporia, where you can get, you know, sort of they call them natural history artifacts, whatever, skulls, bones, teeth, cool stones, that kind of thing. Those are the only two that I know of, but I feel sure there have got to be more. So if anybody can email us or, you know, email me, whatever works. Thinking about putting together a post that points to a few of those as cool places to take the kids.
Okay. Yeah, there's you can get Brian's email. You got an email link on the website, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, then just
judging by the amount of spam I have, it must still be there.
It's doing something for you, yeah. All right, well then, what have I got going on? Can't think of anything really specific. I've got a book or two to review, including, if everyone remembers, the first book I reviewed on the pocket, was it the pop-up engineer's guide? I'm going to mangle the name. Anyway, the book about making your own pop-up books. The second edition of that is out, and I'll be doing a review on that. And I don't know, I've got one or two there. Yeah, that's about it. But lots of good stuff coming down the pike. Look out probably tomorrow. I think looks like we may have a very amusing post from Mr. Jacob Russell coming up. His take on, you might be a redneck superhero if. Look, actually, that'll probably come up today on Wednesday when this thing goes live, so that one should be fun. Yeah. this one may hit fairly close to home for you.
Wait a minute. Does he not live in the Bay Area? All right. You're geographically disqualified, Russell.
Looks like the South Bay, isn't it?
There you go. Yeah, we live in the South Bay, boy.
Hey, we are everywhere.
Yeah.
All those rednecks all over. We just all talk different.
As Doctor Who said, every planet has a north, so every planet has a south.
I kid you not. A close friend of ours grew up in Ithaca, New York, and she said, if you take away the accents, the gun racks and the pickup trucks are the same everywhere you go.
That's very true. There's plenty of that in...
Change the accent and the flag.
Yeah, there's plenty of that in California, too. There's, you know, it's a pretty darn big state, and there's a lot of ruralness to it, so.
I can't wait to see that. I'll have to contribute to the comments.
Excellent. All right, then, I'm going to call this a good one. Everybody, I want to thank y'all. Sorry. I want to thank everyone for joining us. This has been The Geek Dads, episode number 24. I want to thank Dan Olson. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you very much.
And I want to thank Brian Little. Thanks so much, Brian.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
Yep. And I am Ken Denby, editor of GeekDad.com, a Wired blog. And I hope you have a good couple of weeks. We'll see you next time. So long, and stay geeky. Bye-bye. Geek Dad.